The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How are you, sir?
This is Pierre.
Oh.
I can't believe I'm talking to you, Dr. Ray the Great.
Well, I don't know about that.
I love listening to you. You have a personality just like my father.
I don't think you should feel helpless. You are helpless.
Doctor, I really appreciate that. That makes me feel a lot better.
You be at peace, or else I'm going to yell at you.
Trying to find a reason to speak to you. I think you're the best thing since sliced bread.
That Ray, he's something.
Thank you so much for what you're doing for all the parents out there.
They don't know what I can possibly do.
I don't either.
I'm getting my money worth, I think, at this phone call.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
You got to know how to interpret what people say. She says, I'm getting my money's worth with this phone call. Now, on the surface, that sounds like a compliment. She didn't pay anything. So she got her money's worth. Zero. That was it. Zilch. Nada. Nothing. Goose. I'm Dr. Ray. Thanks for joining me here. The Doctor Is In. My compatriots over there in Ann Arbor, Andrew Kruchek, the producer man, Eric Dumont, call Screamer Man. I'm Dr. Ray. Number to get onto the program is 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL. If you would like to ask about some circumstance, situation, person in your life, now, obviously, I'm a psychologist. That's what I do professionally. On the radio, I can educate, give a few thoughts, a few ideas, some perspective for you to ponder. No therapy, no diagnosis, no stepping into the turf of any other therapist. Sometimes people call in to offer a thought for a previous caller. That's helpful. And when I get enough of those, I take notes on them. I do. While you're giving your feedback, I take notes. I gather them up, and about every year, I put them in a book. And I make a lot of money. Thank you. I appreciate that very much for you carrying me like this. Also, sometimes people call in with generic questions, faith questions that intersect with psychology or emotions or living your life. I like those. Every so often, somebody calls in and disputes me. And I take those calls first, especially if they're not personal attacks. You know, that's not cool. If you have to resort to personal attacks, then you really don't have a good argument. But I'm open to hearing your perspective and why you think that I need to rethink mine. That's okay. I like those. And if a parent is smack in the middle, nearby, the blast zone, ground zero of a temper fit from a kid, we have the emergency tantrum line. And we also have the potty training lines. Those are lines number one and number two. Okay. 877-573-7825. I came home one day, driving up the driveway, and my wife was in the driveway. Now, ladies, any of you listening, and from previous ratings, we've looked at my listeners. It's close to 135 now. Probably about 90 of those female, maybe 100. Please do not be upset at your husbands. I am a highly trained professional communicator. I am able to pick up subtle cues in a woman's frustration that the average lay husband doesn't pick up. So please don't get angry at your husbands because they don't have my sensitivity. I came up the driveway. Meeting me partway, she didn't even wait for me to get to the garage, was my wife. I sensed, because I am, again, highly honed at these things, I sensed she was upset. She was reciting in Dr. Seussian rhyme. I do not like it, Ray, I am. I do not like her attitude. I do not like her sour mood. I do not like it. I don't care. I do not like it anywhere. I thought to myself, is something wrong? Is Randy upset about something? I said, honey, and I'm trained in communication. You ask open-ended questions. Are you upset? She said, it's Sarah. Now, at that time, Sarah was about 13. And I felt an overwhelming sense of relief because I was worried that it was me. That I had done something wrong while I was gone. At that moment, Sarah walked out of the house up to her mother. What do you need me to do now, Mom? Well, Sari, that's what we called her, Sari. Sari, you can sweep out the garage. When you're done there, I want you to vacuum the living room and then come to me and I'll have some more stuff. So Sari trudged off and I asked my wife, what's going on? She said, I gave Sarah 2 hours worth of labor. Now, labor in our home was you have to do a certain amount of chores, a certain amount of time. As a consequence, figure it this way, all you ladies listening, this is dual-purpose discipline. It reduces your workload and also puts a consequence on behavior. You can do that. It's great. 2 hours worth of labor. Wow. Wow. What did Sarah do? I figured she did something really bad. And spray painted on the garage floor, Mom is a devastated and lost soul. Something like that. She said, she rolled her eyes at me. Whoa! 2 hours of labor for rolling your eyes at your mother? Is that because rolling your eyes is just so awful and terrible? No. No, it's because your mother is so worthy of honor. The Lord thinks so. He gives 10% of the commandments to parents. He mentions them by name, you know. Very important. But rolling eyes, come on. She wasn't throwing bricks. She wasn't yelling. She wasn't getting incredibly snotty. She just rolled her eyes. Got a question for you, and I ask this question of my clients. After we've spent an hour together talking about their circumstances, toward the end of the hour, if they ask me a question, I look at them and I say something like, yeah, right, and I roll my eyes. I ask them, would you come back? All of them say no. Well, why not? All I did was roll my eyes at ya. Mild form of disdain, not that big a deal. Why would you eliminate everything else that I said just because of that 3 seconds worth of rolling my eyes and yeah, right at you? They see my point. They're not responsible for raising me. But yet, their reaction to me would be, I don't really want to pursue anything further with this guy. I don't like his attitude. But you are responsible for raising your children. I think rolling eyes is really disdainful. I truly do. Try doing it with your friends. Roll your eyes at your friends when they say things you don't like. See how much you get away with it. See how much at the end of a month of you rolling your eyes every time you disagree with them, they still like you. Rolling eyes is disrespectful. There's no question about it. But we allow it a lot as parents. I know pretty much every parent who does allow it. Because they believe that's an expression of feelings and it really isn't that bad. I mean, the kid didn't say anything. Is it or is it not disdain? Is it a verbal communication? Unspoken? It says, yeah, whatever. You're useless. You make no sense. I don't even have to listen to you. That was ridiculous. Does it not? when you roll your eyes at somebody, it's like, I don't even want to entertain what you are saying. It's a good thing I'm on a radio because you can't see me rolling my eyes here. I will tell you this, though. If I look at it objectively, I don't know if I've ever rolled my eyes at somebody. I may have rolled my eyes at something I've heard on TV, but they can't see me. But in person, I don't think I ever have, because I just have such a distaste for it. It just screams disrespect. It does. More than maybe screaming does. So, 2 hours for labor, for Sarah, for rolling her eyes. Yep. Now, one other thing. One of our rules for labor was you can't look like you're a zombie. You can't just kind of stumble along like you're a put-upon individual, calling the union boss and saying, you know what they're doing to me? No, you have to, you may not have to whistle while you work. We never really got to that point with the kids. But you do have to accept that that was your consequence for doing what you did. I'm taking a break. We had some calls up there, and they're gone. Now, you never know. With cell phones, you just never know why people drop. 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call. Get onto the program. I would love to talk to you. I'm Dr. Ray.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Mississippi presented a brief to the Supreme Court, and in that brief, the state of Mississippi argued that the Constitution of the United States does not confer a right to abortion, asking the court to finally admit that cases claiming there is such a right, Roe v. Wade, Planned Parenthood v. Casey, have been wrongly decided and need to be overruled. Now, make no mistake, this is coming to a very different Supreme Court than we've had in the past, because former President Trump kept his promise to appoint originalist judges. And even if we assume they regard Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey as bad decisions, we really don't know how they might go about revising, dismantling, you know, reforming Roe. This is going to be a very consequential Supreme Court case.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We need EWTN Radio for the reason that Mother Angelica founded this entire enterprise. She always saw this as a spiritual growth network. It was to be an enterprise in media that reached people in all aspects of their life. She saw this as a holistic approach to reaching the whole person in the middle of the world and bringing them truth and life.
Raymond Arroyo thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, an old-fashioned dad trapped in an overeducated psychologist's body. Nice to have you with me on The Doctor Is In. I want to go to Canada. See, I can go to Canada now because I'm not crossing the border. I can just talk over the border. But Tina from Ottawa says that there's a cultural difference in interpretation regarding eye rolling. Hi, Tina.
Hi. Yes.
What,
wondering if it is a cultural interpretation.
I'm confused. What's the interpretation?
So usually, you know, eye rolling, well, here, my family and my close friends, so, you know, that it might just be me, but eye rolling, it means, oh, come on, you're exaggerating. And then you kind of roll your eyes like, oh, my, you know, and so it has nothing. It's not putting people down. It's just to show that that's an exaggeration. You know, come back to earth, you know.
Are you saying that's the, Tina, are you saying that's the only message of eye rolling? So that if a 14-year-old does it to a parent, they're just saying, oh, come on, Mom.
Yeah, exactly. That's, well, I mean, I've been through the teenage years with my son and his friends, and it means, oh, come on, you know, I think you're exaggerating with the time. So it's kind of more like that. It's not meant as a, it's meant maybe a bit of a challenge, but I don't think it's meant as a, you know, as the interpretation that you mentioned. Not here. It's
well,
different elsewhere.
Let's take it from your interpretation, and let's say that your son rolls his eyes at you. Is any part of that saying to you, Mom, that's ridiculous?
Well, okay, so yes, actually, it might be, but it might be. So if I'm saying, you know, please come home at 10, and he would roll his eyes and say, "Come on, Mom, like my friends, I'll come home at midnight." So yes, I guess in that scenario, it would be definitely.
So you're saying that eye rolling can have different meanings depending upon the context.
I guess. Yeah. So I guess I needed to call you to get that education.
Because I personally think that eye rolling can be very disdainful. It can come across like, oh wow, oh you're way off on this one. It can come across that way, and maybe in that sense it's borderline disrespectful, but it can be demeaning. I mean, I think an eye roll from a kid who's heard something from his parents that he doesn't like at all and looks at them like, oh, shut up, with his eye roll. Don't you think that's possible?
Yes, maybe I just never took it that way because
Because you're a sweetheart.
I respond to it.
That's it. You're just
the eye roll.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that because I never allowed my kids to do that to their mother. I just didn't. You're not going to do that to your mom. That's not going to happen.
Yes. And I can't say my son did it very much, you know, a couple times. And I would say, you know, and I, you know, go live with your friend's mom, you know, or something like that. That's how I'd respond. but those are the rules here. And that was it. So I didn't respond maybe to the challenge or.
I think you reflect, Tina, not just Canadian parents, but American parents. I think more parents think like you than think like me because you view it as it's no big deal. It's not anything that really conveys anything that's all that bad. That's how you see it. Would it shock you if one of the laws in the Old Testament was that if a teenager remonstrated with a parent that they would risk, and I don't know how much this was ever carried out, but they would risk being stoned?
Oh, hi. You know, I, yeah, let's say we've been through a lot, but that's many, many years ago. so maybe that was, for me, the eye rolling maybe was the least of the issues. So maybe I didn't take it as much.
Now I knew we're getting to it. Now I knew it.
Yeah.
Because in the overall scheme of things, if in your mind there were much worse issues to deal with, the eye rolling was, it's tolerable.
Yeah, you pick your battles. That's the, I guess. So that's the, yeah. Understood. See?
I knew you'd come around to agreeing with me if I badgered you long enough. Tina, thank you for the delightful call.
Sorry for calling because, you know, I'm Canadian, so I have to apologize, right?
I know. Well, I can just, you know why Canadians, like, they say A after everything. You're going to Canada, eh? And I think that's why Canada is spelled that way. C-A-N-A-D-A. Thanks,
well, have a good day, eh?
Hey, your name, T-I-N-A?
A, yep.
Thanks, Tina. I'll talk to you.
Have a good day. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
All right. I got a flood here of people. I have touched the optic nerve, apparently, on the eye rolling. Daniel says he just thinks this eye rolling thing is just momentary. It's not a big deal. It's not a long-term thing. It's just a reflex response. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment on that eye rolling thing. I think that a lot of times, you know, at the moment, whatever the intent of the eye roller was, isn't really important. It's more how it was received. And I think most of I've had my kids roll my eyes at me before, or roll their eyes at me before, and they always come up later and say, "Well, that's not the way I meant it." Well, at the moment, that was really beside the point. But I mean, it's seldom how I received it. It seldom was rolled about the moment that we were in, whatever that issue might have been at the moment. But the way I perceived it is, this is the way that I'm considered or thought of over a long period of time. You know what I'm saying?
Let me give you an extreme example here, Daniel. Let's say that I'm in a grappling match with one of my siblings, and I shove them, and they fall backwards, and they cut their head. And I say to my mother, "Well, I didn't mean to have them cut their head. I didn't mean that. I was just pushing them." Would that be a defense against the fact that I really hurt my brother?
Of what you meant or didn't mean, the intention? Not really. I mean, you know, the way I was taught and the way I always try to talk to my kids is that, well, like you spoke about earlier, consequences. I mean, if you're going to be shoving each other around, something may or may not happen. So you kind of put yourself in that high-risk area where something that you did not intend to happen. What you did intend was to drive them off or to create some kind of a separation between you for the moment, or gain a power over the situation for the moment. But more came out of it.
If I roll my eyes at you, and later I come back and I say, "Well, I didn't mean to be disrespectful." Well, the question becomes, what did you mean at the time you rolled your eyes? Because it was a reflex response to something I said that you didn't like, or you didn't agree with, or you didn't want to do. So you right. rolled your eyes. What's the point? Now, I know what you're saying, and what a lot of parents, I say the majority of parents, don't do anything about rolling eyes. They just don't. Because I'm gonna say my experience is that so many parents get talked to disrespectfully, even if occasionally, that when a child rolls their eyes, they're almost grateful. That's all they did. They just rolled their eyes. They didn't get snotty. They didn't argue with me. They didn't say something very personally attacking. They just rolled their eyes. Okay, I can live with that. I guess it's tolerance by, as Tina said, pick your battles. Well, I personally think rolling your eyes at your parents is disrespectful. Thanks, Daniel. I appreciate it, buddy. All right, we got some folks up there who want to comment some more. And this eye rolling thing, man, I'll tell you what, this poked the bear with a stick. 877-573-7825. Now, it doesn't have to be all about eye rolling. You can call in about other things. But I will draw a parallel here before I head for the break. One of the parallels is that for the longest time, a mindset among expert types has been, let children express themselves. You got to know what's on their mind. You don't want a robotic kid. You don't want a kid who stifles their thoughts, their feelings, their disagreements, and then simply resents you and becomes sneaky rebellious. And I agree with that. However, you can express feelings without being disdainful. You can express your feelings to your parents. If I say, "Dad, I think you're really unreasonable not allowing me to stay out past midnight. I don't understand that." Very few parents would ever react to something like that. But if I would say, "You know, Dad, you're ridiculous. You're ridiculous. I don't know any other parent who does this. You don't even realize how old I am. This is stupid." Now, come on. I expressed feelings. But what kind of expression?
What is the most daunting petition in the Lord's Prayer? The Catholic Catechism says it is when we ask God our Father to forgive our sins as we forgive others, meaning if we do not forgive those who have sinned against us, we don't expect the Father to forgive us. God's outpouring of mercy cannot penetrate our hearts as long as we have not forgiven those who have trespassed against us. This is sobering. The Catechism says there has to be a vital participation coming from the depths of the heart in the holiness and the mercy and the love of God. Only the Holy Spirit can make our mind the same as the mind of Jesus Christ, who could forgive even those who crucified him. The heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit can turn injury into compassion, purifying the memory so as to transform the hurt into intercession. Forgiveness bears witness to the world that love is stronger than hate. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
You as a parent apply Galatians 5, is watch your kids as they move into the religious space, if you want to put it that way. I made noises about the priesthood on and off when I was a little kid. My parents were never oppressive about it. They never pressed me in that direction, but they would quietly indicate an openness to that, or like, that's a good thing. I remember I still have it upstairs, a Bible that my parents got me for Christmas in 1969. I'm a little kid. And it's, from Mom and Dad to Bob, Christmas 1969. They knew, they sensed I was kind of interested in religious things. So I would say that, don't be pushy, of course, but don't go the other direction. That's, my generation got too much of that, was, back off. Who am I to tell you what to do? You make up your mind. No, I think gently, quietly, affirming that, yeah, that's a good thing you're thinking about. And you should be open to that.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Well, we got a lot of calls up there regarding eye rolling. We also have folks saying, yeah, I am the target of it. And what do I do with it? And Wendy from Dover, New Hampshire. Already her six-year-old daughter is giving her, if you're Italian, you kind of know what it means, the maluic, the bad eye. Hi, Wendy.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just think that it's so important as parents to teach emotional intelligence to children and to really teach them how to interact in society. And one of the things that I do when I run into this situation is to kneel down and to actually make eye contact with her and to talk through, the impact of what she just did and how it makes me feel and how it makes others feel, and to just help her understand that. And I find that when I respond in different ways by saying, don't do that, that's not appropriate, or reprimanding her, she's very sensitive and she doesn't respond well. She actually gets upset. So, in doing the alternative version, she gets to understand, how that impacts other people and explaining why it's not okay. And then that makes more sense. And she's actually thanked me for trying to correct her. The other problem I have too is whining and tone right now that I'm trying to work on. And I said, hey, we're not going to do that tone of voice. And, let's work on this together. I know you don't even realize you're doing it. So let's do it together. And I get frustrated that other parents aren't trying to do the same thing with their children, because I see that so much throughout schools and her interactions with other kids. So, I just wanted to share that in one of the ways that I am dealing with my own child. And it's been such a great experience, and it's been a great bond between us to try and work on that together.
Good thoughts, Wendy. Can I add comments here at a number of levels?
Sure.
One, whenever a parent can reason with a child, explain how the child's behavior affects them and how they see it, and the child responds, is wonderful. That's beautiful. My experience as a psychologist is you probably have a very sensitive, mature, for her age, little girl who wants to please mom, wants to do right. And so she responds to this. Two factors. One, the question for many parents is, if they say don't do that, all they're doing is just scolding. And I agree with you. Scolding doesn't do much. The kid blows it off. The kid ignores it, etc. If your little daughter, at least at this point, it looks like she's responding. You're telling her how you think about these things, and it bothers her and she wants to change. That's beautiful. However, let's say she gets to be 12 or 13 and she starts to get a little hormonal and she's doing some of this stuff, and you've explained these things to her. You've been explaining it for the last 7 years, and you've noticed it's not registering like it did. So the first question is, then what will you do about it? Obviously, expressing your feelings, sharing, making her be sensitive to you and to others isn't working as well as it did. That may not happen, may happen. What will you do? Secondly, given your daughter's temperament, her nature, and she sounds like she's very amenable to these kinds of explanations, that's great, as I said. Most kids... I hate this. I don't mean this to sound cynical. I mean it to sound realistic. Most kids may have to have something a little consequential to stop, because for the moment, their emotions overwhelm them, and they do this, even though they don't want to. An hour later, they might say, I'm sorry, didn't mean to do that. But at the moment, they responded. It was a reflex. So the question becomes, what then for the parent? Wendy, thank you. Mm-hmm. That's good stuff. You sound like a very thoughtful, sophisticated, I want to do this well for my little girl. Thanks, Wendy. I'll talk to you. Let's see. All right. Krista, she says, what do you do here when you lash out? Which is kind of a little bit what I was aiming towards with Wendy, which is, as a parent, when your sensitive, thoughtful reasoning doesn't work with a particular child, and children are basically not reasonable creatures, humans are not reasonable creatures, but what do you do then? So Krista from Cleveland. Hi, Krista.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you. First, can I commend you on your story with your wife and the eye rolling, because even if she was slightly off or wrong or the punishment didn't quite fit, you supported her anyway. That is the most important part of the story that I can tell.
I didn't want to get hurt, Krista. I didn't want to get hurt.
Oh, yes.
Sarah was taking the heat.
Dangerous.
Sarah was taking the heat, not me.
Yeah. which made me think about, like, the intent behind some of these lashings out. Like, one time, someone was really accosting me with words. Maybe they called me something horrible. I mean, I was so deeply hurt. And they're holding a plate of food that I had just made and served. And so I wanted to hit that plate out of their hand. Yes, this is my worst, ugly. And when I did, the plate hit them in the forehead. And, you know, really was awful, hurt. And so over time, I apologized profusely. And I really said, I'm so sorry. I never meant it to hit you, you know, almost near your eye. Anyway, I apologize. But this person brings it up years after and how I assaulted them.
Oh, my.
And should have called the police. And
oh, is this person still your friend?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
well, what occasion does it happen that they bring it up when you have a disagreement? They're gonna show you again how you just can't control your impulses?
Yes. Whatever. Wow. The intent is to hurt again. And
yow, you're paying for that one forever, aren't you? And they're not letting it go.
Yeah, so 3 years ago. And
well, you know what you could say to him, Krista?
What's that?
You could say, you should be grateful you didn't have to eat my food. You could say that.
I like it.
I mean, at some point, if you want, you can take some of the sting out of this by saying, well, at least you didn't have to eat the food, you know? It's kind of like saying, okay, get over this. Which is interesting, because for whatever the reason, you always got to ask what's underlying it. Now, you didn't say this, but I would wonder if this particular person has other aspects of your relationship that are not smooth, so that when anything like that comes up, a disagreement over religion or politics or anything, somehow that weasels its way into the conversation. Is that possible?
Yep. Yes, it is. I usually say, I am so sorry. I say, I apologize again, hoping that we'll tug at their heartstrings. Like,
you know what?
Already apologized.
If it were me, I'd say gently, how many apologies will you need for this? I would.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Krista. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, gosh. You know, it makes me wonder about somebody who does that. It's not just that episode. That bespeaks of a certain personality type. Was the food any good?
The Call, a call from God. Father John Trigilio shares his experience.
You know, I first felt a vocation when I was about 7 years old, made my first Holy Communion. I remember distinctly kneeling there at the communion railing, waiting for the priest to come by and bring me communion. And that's the first time I entertained the thought of, I could do this. I would like to be able to give communion to people to celebrate Mass. All through Catholic grade school, I kept thinking about it, praying about it. Finally, when I got to eighth grade, I decided I'd go to the high school seminary. I had a cousin who was a priest. He was a very holy man. He was a positive influence. My pastor was a holy man, loved the Blessed Sacrament and Our Lady. And, of course, Father Levis. Those influences just kept me going through the seminary. And most of all, my mom and dad's encouragement. They never forced me to stay in. They always say, if you leave, there's no disgrace. But whatever you decide to do, we'll back you up. That helped me stay in. Because where I'm at today, the people I serve in the Diocese of Harrisburg, the work I do with Father Levis on EWTN, that would never have happened. If you would have told me back in 1980 that I'd be doing Faith Matters or Web of Faith, I'd say, you know, go see a doctor because somebody hit you on the head. But the fact that I'm here is a sign that God's providence can't be conquered even by other people's influences.
For information on the priesthood or religious life, log on to www.ewtn.com/religious-life.
I just want to say we have more calls up there regarding eye rolling and its effects and its non-effects and its ill effects than we got on tattoos. Oh, that might say something. Guido, which I'm calling on Guido from Maine because, one, that's a very distinctive Italian name. That is my sister's godfather's name, Gombar Guido. Hi, Guido.
Hi, how are you?
You got to be Italian.
Of course, Guido Corriero.
I love it. No doubt about that one. So your son tries to be very psychologically enlightened as he interacts with his children, and they're just mistreating him all over the place.
Yes, and of course, I think of my, if I was to act to my dad the way I see my grandchildren acting towards my children, it would be all over. I mean, my father, as you can imagine, being an Italian dad, I heard the strap come out of the belt. He shouldn't have done that, but he did. I still love my dad. Even today, I'm starting to cry when I think about him. And he lived to be 106, by the way, but that's beside the point.
Wow. So, tell me, your grandchildren, Guido, are how old?
Well, let's see. One is 15, the other 12, and then my little granddaughter, I have 11, and with the little one, she's only 5. And last year, I could walk with her and play with her. She held my hand. But during the summer, they put her on this iPad thing to keep her active. And now, if you talk to her, she doesn't want to talk to you. I mean, change. All of them are on devices. They're all on devices. And when they get mad at their father or their, you know, at my children, the way they talk to them, scream at them, it's just, I just can't believe it. So I zip it up. I don't say anything.
But why do you think he takes it?
You know, I think maybe because I was a rager, you know, I had a lot of my father in me. I don't think, I never hit, right? I spanked them when they were little, but I don't mean not on the behind when they were naughty. But as I never really did what my dad did. I never got the strap out. And I thought maybe it's because they don't want to be like their father. They don't want to rage. But I'm being too psyche with that. I think
you're on to something. Guido, I think you're on to something. I do.
Okay.
I'm going to talk in more depth on this in a future look back call. But are you thinking that your son is trying to compensate because he thought the way you did things was so bad that he's not even going to be remotely close to that? So he's going the other direction and just being permissive.
Well, I can tell you, Dr. Grody, that's what I did. In other words, I remember my father being so bad that I compensated. And I did not. I mean, when I raged, I got out of hand, but I never swung at anybody or took off my belt. So I was very careful not to be like my dad. But I see that, that's perhaps what he's doing. But all my kids are into the modern psychology that you don't spank at all. And you talk to your child, and you tell them, look, I know you're angry, and I know you're mad. And one of my children comes, they have a split marriage, and they still don't get together, the husband and the wife, after many, many years. And they also think that they want to be the fair parent, the nice parent. But whatever the reason is, when I see it, I go, I can't believe my grandchildren are talking to their kids that way. So that's it, Doctor.
Okay, Guido. Well, by the way, you went to the front of the line simply because your name was Guido. That's it. I mean, there's just, it's an Italian law. If it would have been Giuseppe, it would have been the same thing. Thank you, Guido. Thank you for the call. And I know that Eric Dumont, the call screamer, was saying, I didn't know Guido was an Italian name. Of course it is. It's not a nickname. It is an actual Italian name, Guido. So my sister, as I said, my sister's godfather was named Guido. Okay, boy, we got so many. I want to get to, I think I can take another one real quick. Michelle says we communicate with our whole body. And part of our body is eye rolling. But one could make the case, for example, that if you just throw up your hands in disgust towards someone, or if your parent is talking to you and you just turn and rudely walk away, does the body not communicate? Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just, you know, John Paul II said in Theology of the Body that we speak with our whole bodies, not just our words. So when I used to teach, I'm retired, and had a couple kids, once or twice my kids would roll their eye or do something with their face that I didn't like. And I would say, hey, you may as well say I'm stupid and I'm an idiot, because that's what your face said. And I don't like that. So they said, oh, okay. I said, you know. And with my students, it was always quite a laugh, because they'd say, if I did this with my face, what would that say to you? And they'd say, oh, you're kind of disgusting with us. Yeah. I said, no, I don't want to say that to you with my face or with my words, because I want to show you that I have respect for you. So I think the Theology of the Body teaches a lot about how we can speak with our bodies, not only our words.
I think you're absolutely correct. As a matter of fact, there have been books put out on body language. Now, of course, body language, well, I'll get into it at a later date, but you're right. You communicate an awful lot nonverbally. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate it. Alex from Florida. His dad said, do what you're told. You get to live another day. He laughs. I'm sure he loves his dad. Hi, Alex.
Hey, how are you doing, sir?
You're military, aren't you?
Yes, sir. And I lived in Sicilia for 3 years. I might not have an Italian name, but I lived there. So greatest food in the world.
You said sir twice in this call, which led me to believe right away quick.
Well, it's 24 years retired, and it's just kind of ingrained into me.
Did you retire as a colonel?
No, I was enlisted. So I was a
sergeant, master sergeant. Is that a master sergeant?
I was a Navy chief. I was a ground pounder.
Okay.
They call this dirt Navy. So I had five combat tours, and
I
just, something that kind of kills me is that when I was a child, my father gave me the grace of living another day as long as I did what he told me, because he was an authority figure, not my buddy or pal. And I think I had to pull over, take a couple extra blood pressure pills when I was listening earlier, because it sounds like every parent is scared of their child these days and wants to be their friend. And I told the screener, I said, look, in combat, you tell your men to do something and they don't question it because you're keeping them alive. And there's a time when you do explain things, but it's a parent's prerogative. And I understand sensitivity, and maybe I'm just a mean old grumpy military guy, but I'm like, why are so many parents scared of their children these days and scared to be a parent? I don't mean you have to be an authoritarian dictator, but my children, who are grown with families now, they raise their children to, when I tell you something, you do it because I'm your parent. I'm not your friend. I'm your parent. And I don't know. And as far as that belt coming out of the belt strap, you know, I was like, well, I'm glad my father used it a few times, because it made me perk up and listen a little better, because I needed some beating in my thick head.
My first book, Alex, was a book called You're a Better Parent Than You Think. I was 28 years old when I wrote it. I had been in the mental health center for 3 years, and I saw exactly what you're talking about. I saw so many parents coming into that building frustrated, not liking parenting, arguing with their children, doing all kinds of what they thought were psychologically correct approaches, and it was not at all enjoyable for them. And the book focuses on what has happened to the authority that parents used to more naturally have. What has happened to their confidence? What has happened to their ability to enjoy this, because they're not excessively frustrated over all these disciplined fights that they're getting into? And, you know, just as an aside, Alex, many parents now react. We have families who listen to this program who have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 kids. And they'll tell you that when people look at the size of their family, one of the most common things they hear is, oh, I don't know how you do that. I can't handle the two I have. I can't handle my one son. He is so strong-willed and so stubborn. I can't even imagine 5 kids. Because what they're saying is, I don't have that confident sense of being a strong parent. Alex, you're right. God bless you. What is the Navy motto?
Well, we have all kinds of them. Well, we have the Sailor's Creed. I was an engineer diver, and so we'd always just say hoo-yah. And
hoo-yah,
that
okay.
That covered anything. That could be positive, negative. That could mean let's go to lunch.
That was a multi-purpose eye roll for the Navy. That's what it was.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My dad would say, you roll your eyes, I'll roll your head. And but I was with the Marines all the time, so semper fi to my brothers out there.
Well, you know, if you're from South, be like, who y'all? So
exactly. Well, I am in the South, and I drink sweet tea, and I do say y'all now, so it's kind of funny.
Thanks, Alex. I'll talk to you.
Yes, sir.
This is Dr. Ray. I'll be right back.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Now, when Jesus was on earth, he taught us a great lesson. He taught us that he came for the sinner, not the virtuous. He came for you because you are imperfect, because sin comes easy to you, and sometimes you don't have the willpower to say no. But you see, if you understood the awesomeness of God and all his power and all his wonder, and he comes down to our level, he wanted to feel. How do you feel? I don't know anybody that loves anyone that much. And this imperfect being that's you and me and all of us, he did it for us. That's why you should never despair, because you're imperfect.
For more information on Mother Angelica, visit Religious Catalog at EWTNRC.com.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is The Logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, "Appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world." Have you ever appreciated what you can't not know? What is it that you know without thinking and take on faith? You know, for instance, that you have to breathe, but normally you don't think about it. Stick out your thumb. Look at it. Without it, you could not pick up a pencil. You can't not know that you have breath or thumbs, and yet you have to think to pick up that pencil. Are you holding your breath? Do you think it's time to breathe? Today, go on social media and tell someone you appreciate breath and thumbs. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
By the way, I gotta make this announcement. This is absolutely fantastic. Hold on, I gotta get to the details on this. Here it is. This is a boomer. This is a boomer. AM 750 WNDZ serving Greater Chicago. As millions and millions of people there. Newest member of the EWTN family. 750 is low on the AM frequency, and that means it reaches far. So this is tremendous. Angela Tomlinson, her great team at WSFI in Antioch, Illinois, they are partnering with WNDZ for outstanding EWTN local programming. Great to have you guys. Newest member of the EWTN family, and a big one. Thanks so much for joining us. Andrea agrees with me. Helen agrees with me. Call back, because definitely I agree with you. You are right. We are seeing eye to eye on this whole eye rolling thing. I want to quickly get to Andy from Dallas, Texas, because I have had priests in my office. What resources are available to priests to get some type of psychological, social, emotional direction, help? Does the church have mental health interventions for them? Hi, Andy.
How are you, Dr. Ray?
Short answer, yes. There are sometimes places where the priests can go for a sabbatical, inpatient settings. The diocese would know about those. And then, of course, any priest can seek psychological counseling if they wish. I've had priests in my office. Had seminarians.
Okay, so you're saying that the best approach would be to contact the diocese then?
Well,
if
they're looking for an inpatient or a residential kind of 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 3 months, something like that, there are some priests, for example, who have struggled with alcoholism, and they have gone to an inpatient type setting for that. Those are available, and there's not a whole lot of them, but they are available. And then more common would be priests who would say, okay, I need to know a trustworthy therapist who would respect my deepest held beliefs and would work within my worldview. I mean, the priests that came to me knew that I understood their Catholic faith, and in every way I was going to work within that for them.
Right.
So... that's the short answer to a long answer.
We had a fairly newly ordained priest in the last 3 or 4 months, in his mid-50s, just commit suicide on Monday. I am trying to figure out how to help, you know. I always say this, you know, we as lay people, priests have to listen to our crap 24/7, right? And some of them don't have an outlet. And
yeah, these poor guys are overloaded like psychologists are. Only difference is psychologists get paid for it. Priests lead the flock. You know, it's true. I've often said to my wife, these priests are everybody wants a piece of these priests' minds, hearts, and souls. They do.
Right.
So you're right. When I was growing up, usually at the parish and the rectory were 2, 3, 4, 5 priests Well, now, there's usually one.
Yeah, you're lucky if you have two.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Only the bigger parishes. And he's isolated. Oh. You're right, my friend. God bless you.
Okay.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Some heavy calls up there, and for all of you I didn't get to, please, I want to apologize, but please call back. You will be first up, okay? Anonymous, and Lori, and Andy, and Helen. So thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Ray. By the way, go to Salt and Light Radio because we're heading out there. It's official. We're going to do Living Right with Dr. Ray in Boise, Idaho. Find out the dates. Go to Salt and Light Radio's website. Need ya.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.